I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We got Chris Young coming up at 4:20. We'll talk with the Rangers president of baseball operations. Is Corey Seager going to play? What are they going to do in the outfield with a couple of injuries over the weekend? How's he feel about the club as they drop 2 of 3 to the Red Sox? Rangers coming up in less than 20 minutes now. Here's Wolchuk with your football fix.
Let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
How about this nugget for you? Dak Prescott could set an important franchise record this year in 2026 as Dak needs just 12 wins to pass Troy Aikman for the most regular season wins by a Cowboys quarterback.
Kind of surprised he hasn't done it already.
Okay, you are.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I mean, Troy did a ton of winning. Now, early on, I get it. Like, the first year, awful, 1-15. But then you win 3 Super Bowls. You go to the postseason.
But it's not like they were 15-1 Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, there was some 13-3s in there, 12-4s. I mean, I get
Dak did those.
He did have 3 straight 12-5 seasons. That is true. Over his 10-year career. But, yeah, I mean, now he's going to own basically every single Cowboys quarterback record, and the last thing there is just the elusive Super Bowl title.
Yeah, playoff
just
winning percentage.
Just that small little
just
thing,
man. Just that
elusive
Super Bowl. You know,
and the only one.
Don't tell Steven it matters.
No, I mean, why would it matter? It's just like as Rob Manfred would say, and we're talking football, we're not talking baseball, but it's just a piece of metal.
He's got to get the lucky breaks, man.
You know, that's all it is.
A little snake bit here.
Why are we even judging these players by championships? What do you play for? You don't play for the championships. You play for the love of the damn game.
And for the counting numbers.
And for the regular season wins.
Yep.
But is that good enough? Can Dak do it? Is he the guy? Let's go to somebody that has, somebody that did, and somebody that knows.
Somebody that will again.
One day, maybe, this year. Crown Global Media. Oh, my gosh. Mm. Crown Global?
Yeah.
Is that Brian?
That's the CEO right there.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, founder.
Let's hear.
He couldn't spell CEO.
From the man, the myth, the legend, the one who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the great Darren Woodson, on this very topic.
I thought you were saying me.
No, not you.
Okay.
Don't think that highly of yourself. Come on, Brian.
Does that ring?
Woody?
Hater.
You think Dak has what it takes to take the Cowboys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My office at the Star. My office is at the Star. I'm on the third floor, and I look down on that practice field every single day. Every single day. And let me tell you, the guy I see in the offseason, and it starts in like March, February, the end of February, Dak is out there throwing the guys who aren't going to make the team. They are not going to make this team. And it's in the morning. There's one consistent, is Dak Prescott. He's showing up. Right? Dak Prescott could have played in any era. Any era. His will is want to succeed and want to lead and all those things. I think he has all the intangible. Now, does he have to win the big game? Absolutely. He's got to win the game. I look at Tony Romo. Tony Romo was one of the great passers of the game. Like, he was tremendous. People don't give Tony Romo enough credit for who he was, right? Tony's biggest issue, if he had gotten to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, we're looking at him totally different. Totally different. He's a Hall of Fame. Numbers are big. He was special at doing those things. He just couldn't get over the hump. Dak's going to fall in the same category if he does not get over the hump. Sure. People are not going to care about your numbers or what you did, how you led. They're going to want you to get to the pinnacle. And that's just how quarterbacks are looked at.
Mic drop. He's right. 100%. We've known this forever. So, fellas, I'm going to give you the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks.
No, first we got to go live to Lucius there.
Yeah,
like I was in a Chinese flick.
Yeah, dude. Enter the Dragon.
We got some Bruce Lee production going on.
I was playing Fruit Ninja the whole time.
Yeah. Gosh, shout out to Fruit Ninja. I haven't played that in so long. Is that still going?
Gosh, I don't know. Those are the sound effects, though.
Feel free. Give me some sound effects anytime you want.
Insane.
Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks right now that need to win a Super Bowl more than anybody else. And you tell me. Thank you, if you agree. And where Dak is he number one? I give you Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh.
I give you Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals. I give you Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. And then Dak Prescott, Dakota Rain with your Dallas Cowboys. Is he number one on that Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks?
No, he's clearly number four. No. You're talking with MVPs with Lamar and Josh.
Yeah, but this is MVP runner-up.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott.
Is Joe Burrow an MVP runner-up? Maybe he is. I don't know.
Joe Burrow somehow makes a bad defense and a bad O-line contenders just by being there with Higgins and Chase.
By being Joe.
He's pretty incredible. I don't even know if Dak should be in the top four, but he'd be number four on my list.
Number four on the list. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, when you're just looking at the actual players themselves, the expectation for Lamar and for Josh Allen is higher.
And for Burrow?
And for Burrow. I mean, at least Burrow has the I've been there before.
Played in the game.
Notch on his belt.
Yep.
But
he's looking for another notch on his belt.
But it's the cowboy factor, you know? I mean, you have to weigh that. And so,
yeah, I guess you're right. I think this is probably where my fan bias is coming in. I'm like, I think Dak is clearly number one. But if you put it into that perspective of like, okay, overall, the expectation level is like Lamar Jackson's a two-time MVP. The pressure, but I also don't know, like, is the pressure as you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Is the pressure not more so for Dak than those other guys? I feel like I could make a case that it is Dak, but I see where you're coming from. But, like, Dak's also the guy that's leading the national narrative about this every day. Like, we turn on whatever the show is on ESPN, FS1, name your CBS Sports. It's going to be like, Dak Prescott, can he win the big one? You know, he's going to be the talking point.
Yeah, but it's because he's with the Cowboys, whereas Lamar Jackson could be on any team that no one cares about. Like, and he's still cutting through because it's Lamar Jackson. You wouldn't talk about Dak like this if he was in – if you switch Lamar Jackson and Dak with the Ravens – like he's just a really solid quarterback. No one's talking about him on a daily basis of like, man, he's been a big time MVP. We talk about him as being one of the best players at his position, like clearly top two or three, no matter what team he's on. Yeah. Dak is getting the bump for being on the Cowboys.
Right, which I mean, does that not make it even more like the pressure there is greater than anybody else?
This is Lamar Jackson all the way.
Lamar?
Yeah, just because historically, look at how Lamar Jackson performed.
His postseason's been bad.
But look at the I'm just talking about like
two-time MVP regular season stuff.
Regular season stuff. I mean, Dak, it was what, one time a runner-up?
Yeah.
But not like Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I remember Lamar Jackson when he was drafted. Like he's promising the Ravens a championship.
Let me ask you this. If Lamar Jackson retires today, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
So he doesn't need the Super Bowl to make the Hall.
I mean, it's
like Dak's only getting in if he gets a Super Bowl.
Right. I'd have to look at his career numbers. I think it's hard to imagine a two-time MVP at this position.
Not making it?
Yep.
Not making it.
Yep.
I think he'd get in the Terrell Davis way if he doesn't maybe have the passing stats, touchdowns, yards to put him in there. But, you know, I think there is a tremendous amount of pressure on Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. But if you're looking at this like who gets the most national attention and pressure, then that's always going to be the Cowboys. If it comes down to who's the best player to have never won a Super Bowl, then, you know, he's at best fourth.
Yeah, like who needs the Super Bowl the most? If Lamar Jackson's in the Hall of Fame without one, I'd say Dak needs it more. Just in this conversation.
To get in the Hall of Fame, Dak needs a Super Bowl. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Who needs it the most? Like, just for their, you know, for we look back at history. Dak, we're looking totally differently. Lamar,
I think it goes totally different, too. If Lamar wins a Super Bowl, all of a sudden, he's being elevated in a way of all-time quarterbacks.
You're right.
Where you start throwing him in there, like, is he a top 10? Sure. Is he a top 15 quarterback?
Josh
whatever,
Allen,
all time.
Similar deal. Burrow, similar deal.
It's different. It's different things for each of them, but I still think it's the guys who are expected. You are supposed to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Josh Allen. That's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. And Dak's just not in that group.
He's just not quite in there, you know, of like the elite.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even Lamar and Josh haven't been able to carry their teams to postseason success. So,
but I think they have that expectation.
Yeah.
I think people look at them like saying, you should be one of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't think they're looking at Dak that way. I think they understand, hey, Dak, you are maxing yourself out and everything around you needs to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I really wish this was more of an organizational conversation, because the Cowboys are the organization that most needs it.
No question.
Has the most pressure on it and has let their fan base down the most. Mm. Probably fixing to do it again.
817's going. It's Josh Allen, the drop balls, the overtime losses, Kansas City just being in the way. 817, in your contest, Zach, I do think you're right, because the other three may make a Hall of Fame without a Super Bowl, but Dak will not, based on the numbers. I mean, I think
that was a good point.
All of these, you know, it's just Burrow, not an MVP, but two times comeback player of the year award from the 817. But I think those are kind of like, I think Herbert would then enter the, like, Herbert's got to just, can you win a damn playoff game?
Yeah.
Right. Like, then there's the next wave of this. I think you get to like the Josh Herberts and, like, you know, some of these other younger quarterbacks that are now coming up. But I think that's clearly, to me, the four Mount Rushmore right now. Like, these quarterbacks got to go get them one.
Yeah.
And then their legacy could be totally altered the way that we think about them. Now, shout out to Nick Harris yesterday. I mean, Nick knew what you were doing here. Broke the internet in a good way.
Oh, he did?
Not quite curtains being used at AT&T Stadium for today's World Cup match, but a tint is over the big doors on each side of the stadium. No glare or sunlight coming through onto the pitch as a result. So is this not a great compromise? If you don't want the curtains, just put the tint up. I mean,
I don't Jerry know. Love big tinties.
Well played. I guess my approach to this story was a little bit more scientific.
Okay. I'm making up for the missed opportunity on the hooker thing earlier.
I know, man. I was making the hooker jokes over here, and you just were zoned in.
I don't know if the sun's hitting the stadium at the same angle. It's all about the angles.
And it is all about the
when
angles.
You have that low November and December sun, it cuts through there.
Okay.
It's higher in the summertime, coming in from a different angle. And therefore, just the tinting is good enough.
So the tint, you are going to get tinty with me.
I would be willing to explore that, but right. I don't know if it would have the same impact as it did
as
in
the curtains.
Month of June.
All right, fair. All right.
I just think it's a globe universe discussion. Science, bro.
It's a globe.
Science rules. It's a globe universe.
The axis. You know?
it's a globe universe discussion. All right, fair enough. Touché.
You know what I'm talking about, Walter.
You're out of your depth here, bro.
I really am. I feel like I have no idea what you just said, but that's all right. Let's go to the Big 12 as we wrap up the football fix today. We'll sprinkle dinkle some college in. The Big 12 has filed a complaint seeking the authority to sanction Texas Tech if Brendan Sorensen takes the field this season, per Ross Dellinger. Potential penalties discussed in the filing include monetary sanction and a ban from the Big 12 championship game. So we'll get more into that coming up at 4:40-ish.
Yeah, around the Sorensen.
I can't wait for that. I think that's going to be fun.
Is that another globe universe discussion?
Or is that going to get into science? That?
Yeah, you know, Earth, Sun, the axis. The wormholes.
I love a good wormhole.
Yeah. The vacuum of space. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. That sun traveling millions of miles, probably.
You freaking badass.
Okay. We got Chris Young coming up next here. We talk to the Rangers president of baseball operations every Monday at 4:20. He's next here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.
Yes, welcome back. It is time now for the Chris Young Show, brought to you by Medical City Healthcare and by Lexus. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Lexus dealership today. Rangers pregame coming up in just over 2 hours. Here he is, the president of baseball operations for your Texas Rangers, Chris Young, here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. Thank you. How are you all?
Doing well, and second week in a row here, we get to talk about the success against the lefties continuing to trend up. 18 runs in 19 and two-thirds innings against them as you face four left-handed starters in the last nine games. What exactly are we witnessing here, sir?
Yeah, just some very good at-bats consistently throughout the lineup, a team approach, and the guys have really done a good job. I mean, it certainly helps when you have Wyatt Langford back in the lineup facing those lefties. So that's a big addition to our club. You know, in that time period, now we've lost a couple other guys right when we felt like we were getting healthy. So, but it is a good thing to see us improve our performance against left-handed pitching. And the hope is that if we can continue to do that, you know, we did shuffle the deck a little bit and changed out some of our right-handed hitters. Justin Foscue has done a tremendous job in the opportunities he's gotten. We brought him here mainly to face left-handed pitching, and he has really capitalized on that. So, you know, I think there's some positive things going. I think the main thing we're focused on now is to stay healthy and get our guys back on the field. This week was a tough week, you know, between Evan Carter going down, Michael Hellman, and then we lost Corey, obviously, with the collision in Kansas City. You know, we just got to get these guys back and hopefully get our team healthy here shortly and keep competing.
What's the outlook for Seager not being in the lineup tonight? Could this drag on for a while?
Yeah, so Skip will announce this in a minute or two, but we are going to put him on the concussion IL. You know, this is something we don't want to mess around with. While he's very close, we feel like he's not fully recovered yet. And obviously, we all know how serious a concussion can be, and we don't want to put him in harm's way. So we are going to put him on the concussion IL and backdate it to Friday, and then at which point he'll miss today, he'll miss tomorrow. We have Wednesday off, he'll miss Thursday, and the hope is by Friday he'll be ready and cleared to resume playing again.
So that concussion IL, you can get him back in a week?
Yeah, it's a 7-day concussion IL, and he's got to pass certain tests to return to play. He's been able to pass some of those tests, but he's not 100% in the clear yet. And so while he's close, there are still a couple things that are irritating him. And like we said, we don't want to put him in harm's way. He's so important to our team. We got to make sure we get him right. So we've activated Josh Smith today, who will replace Corey as he goes on the concussion IL.
So then what's the outlook for Hellman and Carter, and what kind of dominoes can fall there in the outfield for you?
Yeah, so for Evan, he's got a grade 1 oblique strain. You know, it's at least 2 weeks on that. It could be a little bit longer depending on how fast he recovers. With Michael Hellman, it's worse news. It's a fractured finger. It's going to be at least 8 weeks until he can be back to full strength. So we've got a long time on Hellman. You know, Evan, we're hopeful these oblique strains can be tricky. We hope that this is on the lighter end. The MRI did not reveal too bad of a strain, which we feel like we dodged a bullet on that. But, you know, if you watch that play when he dove and aggravated it, it was he hit the ground pretty hard and jarred something in his side or back there that caused this. So we got to get him healthy. We got to get him right. And hopefully it'll be closer to 2 weeks and not longer than that.
What's your outlook on Wyatt Langford in center field? Can that be part of a solution, and to what extent?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I'll just speak very candidly that on Wyatt's rehab, we accelerated his rehab because we wanted him back in the big leagues as quickly as possible. And one of the things that we had hoped to do on rehab was get him some exposure in center field. We didn't do it. We felt like with him coming back, and especially with the healthy Evan Carter and Michael Hellman at the time, we were covered in center field, so we wanted Wyatt to really focus on playing left field. Now we've got to reconsider that. And so we'll talk to Wyatt and see if that's a possibility, see if he's ready for that. We also have to be very cognizant of the workload. Center field is a tougher position in terms of the ground you cover as compared to one of the corner spots. And, you know, for a ball hits a left field, the center fielder is breaking that way. When the ball's hit the right field, he's breaking to cover right field as well, whereas the left and right fielder don't break like that all the time. So there is more workload on a center fielder. Obviously, Wyatt, the way he plays, it's 100% all effort all the time, and we've got to be cognizant of that to make sure that we keep him healthy, because he and Corey are so important to the rest of our season. If we keep those guys on the field and healthy together, I like our chances, but if we lose either one for an extended period of time, obviously, it makes things a lot tougher.
Hey, you've talked to us about, I mean, injuries are part of the sport, and it's part of 162 and navigating that, but how challenging is it to really get a good evaluation of the club when it feels like, man, we're going to get, we got everybody healthy, and then, oh, darn it, now another guy's down?
It literally started last Friday night. I felt like we had Wyatt and Corey back, and I felt like it was the first time all season that we've had our starting unit together in a long time. And now we've got a run of games here where we can make some headway. And that night, Danny Jansen went on the IL. And it's kind of continued through the week. And so losing Evan, losing Michael Hellman, losing Corey, it's definitely, you know, been a blow to us. You know, even with that, the team managed to play 500 baseball on the road trip. We easily could have come away with one or two more wins and made it a great trip. But, you know, my anticipation is we get Corey back here soon, and he's the biggest one. We got to get him back. Evan should not be too far behind him. But we do have to keep these guys healthy. And if we can keep these guys healthy, I would like to see what this team can become. This race is wide open. The division's wide open, and the American League's wide open. And so I'd like to see what our team can do for an extended period here if we can have some good health.
CY, how much did the league work with you on this Wednesday off day? And I kind of feel it's kind of weird. Were you just like, did the league just say, hey, you're going to have Wednesday off because of a World Cup match and live with it? How did that all work out for you?
You know, it's a great question. And I actually, my understanding is that it was a little bit bigger than just the league. It was part of, of the understanding when DFW was going to get awarded the World Cup is that you can only have so much traffic and people in the area and the police presence. And so part of the agreement was that, you know, we wouldn't have games when the games are going on next door. And so that was a big piece of this. And look, we're happy to accommodate. This is a great thing for DFW. Sure. I actually got to go to the game yesterday. It was phenomenal. I was so impressed with the crowd, the energy. It was just awesome. If you watched our game last night in Boston, yes, you saw a soccer crowd that came to the game, and the chanting and the energy, the atmosphere. Our players have said it was electric. And so my hope is that while they're here, they'll want to come to a Ranger game, and that we'll get some of those fans from Europe or Asia or across the world coming to see baseball, perhaps for the first time, and they will bring that energy and electricity that really was just amazing yesterday in, I guess, Dallas Stadium.
Yeah. Chris Young here with us on The Fan. I mean, you know Texas sports fans as good as anybody. Do you think we could get some more of that international flavor going on at some of our sporting events, the enthusiasm, the singing and stuff?
Well, you know, look, the World Cup is a huge deal. It is not like a regular season baseball game. I mean, it is a huge event, and I get that. It's more comparable to maybe the Super Bowl in terms of some of these countries and the 4 years they wait to perform on this stage. That said, it is electric, and I have such appreciation. You know, I was not sure if I was going to get to any games. It worked out where I was home this weekend for draft meetings. And just decided, I don't know the next time the World Cup will be here. I need to go experience this. And so was able to go yesterday before our game. And I just couldn't have been more impressed with both the Netherlands and Japan, their fans, the energy, the players, the way the game was played. It was just such a great event. But yes, from a spectator point of view, that energy was amazing, and I think for baseball it would be phenomenal to have that type of that type of fan base and the energy and the electricity and the chanting and the songs, and it was so phenomenal. And the players, I know, feel that. I can say that as a former player. I've been in big games, playoff environments, and you feel the energy of the crowd. That is real. So for all of our fans coming tonight, bring that energy.
Let's go. It certainly looks like Evaldi reacts to that big game energy positively, doesn't it?
He loves it. I mean, it's so impressive to see him. He craves the big moment, the big game. It's a nationally televised game, an electric atmosphere, and a place where he pitched and won a World Series. And he wanted to be out there. He shies away from nothing, and it's just so fun. He sets a great example for our entire team, and I love watching him compete.
How about Jacob Latz and what he's been able to do in the closer role? Like, how much of a surprise revelation has he been?
Well, it's not surprising in terms of the performance that he's giving us and the contribution he's making to the team. The role in which he's making it perhaps is, and it came about mainly because we decided to put Kamara in the rotation at the end of spring training and slide Lassie into the bullpen, and really with the idea that he was going to be a leverage arm, less than a sort of multi-inning reliever that would pitch non-leverage. We felt like he was going to pitch leverage innings for us and be a real weapon late in the game for us. If you had told me that he ended up closing, I would say it wouldn't shock me. but it also wasn't the exact plan. So it shows you how much I know in terms of, you know, we went into the season without identifying a closer per se. We've had Robert Garcia and Chris Martin both go down, and Jake Lass and Jacob Junis have stepped up and really fortified the back of the bullpen and been phenomenal. And there's no doubt without Lassie right now, we would not be even close to 500. So he's played a huge role for us. He will continue to play a huge role for us. And it's our job to continue to, one, get these other guys healthy and back, whether it's Martin or Garcia. And then secondly, continue to develop internally guys who can eventually grow into those roles, because Jacob has been a great example of someone who, you know, his road has not been perfectly clean to the big leagues, but he's persevered. He's continued to get better and better, and now he's closing games for us.
Are we getting closer to Jordan Montgomery's return?
Yeah, Monty threw a live BP today. I was outside earlier watching it. He looked good. He'll go back out on rehab after today, so we're excited to get him back out and pitching. And you know, my understanding is he's feeling good, and we'll take it one game at a time, but we are making progress, and it was good to see him out there competing today.
Is it important in your mind to get above 500 and stay above 500? Is that any part of the emphasis or focus?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, 500 is certainly important to us. It's not the primary goal. The biggest goal is to continue to play good baseball consistently over and over and over, and eventually the record reflects that. But we're at a point in the season where we need to start, you know, we need to start putting together win streaks, winning series and stacking on, wins, one after the next, series after series, and establish ourselves as one of the teams to beat in the American League. And I do believe this team is capable of that. We've shown it at different times throughout the season, but not at the level, not with the consistency, that is needed, that good teams have. And so now it's, I think, a good opportunity for us at this point in the season to, you know, to continue to build wins. And the record will eventually take care of itself. But, yeah, 500, and then, you know, my hope is well beyond 500.
CY, you mentioned about you in your draft meetings and stuff right now. A snapshot on where you think maybe the talent is positional-wise for the draft. Maybe you don't have to give me names, but just maybe positionally where you kind of feel like this thing's got a little depth to it.
Yeah, it's a good blend of high school and college position players, and then there are some good college arms. The high school arms I'm still learning more about at this point, but it's an interesting draft in that it's a very deep draft, and I'd say there's probably a consensus top 3 to 5 picks in the draft. And then after that, you know, the 5th pick could easily be the 20th pick and vice versa. So it's really to each their own in terms of their preference and how they view the players. It's a deep draft. We feel like the picks that we'll have, it's, you know, in our 2nd and 3rd and 4th rounds will be very, very good picks and could very easily turn out to be just as good as the first round pick. So it's an exciting class. I've been enjoying hearing our scouts go through it. It's one of my favorite times of year because it's one of the few times where our entire organization comes together cross-departmentally. We have our R&D department, our scouting departments. We have our baseball ops departments. We have our pitching group, our hitting group. We have so many player development, so many people, you know, coming together and giving opinions and analyzing information to help us make the best decision possible. And so it's really one of the moments where I evaluate what I consider to be the heartbeat of the culture of the organization. And to see us functioning well in those meetings was really exciting. And we have had to start those meetings earlier this year because of the World Cup. We're going to be kind of shut out of our offices here for a couple weeks as the games continue, and then we'll resume them in July. But in the meantime, our scouts have put us in a tremendous position, and I'm very excited about this year's class.
We'll see why. We'll be out there Friday at the ballpark, so if you need us to show up and give you a hand in, you know, moving tags around, just let us know, okay?
Well, come on, bring that energy, and if you can recruit some of these World Cup fans to come with you, bring them on, please.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. Give them help. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes. Chris Young brought to you by Medical City Healthcare and by Lexus. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Lexus dealership today. Okay, CY every Monday at 4:20 here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to go around the Soresby, give you the very latest on a very eventful day in that saga next year on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Thanks to Chris Young for joining us. He broke the news, told us that Corey Seager is going on the concussion IL, which is 1 week backdated to last Wednesday. That means Seager could likely return coming up this weekend, but will be out for these next three games, which will start tonight against the Twins. You got 6:30 tonight and tomorrow, then a day off Wednesday for World Cup traffic, and then a 1:35 start on Thursday afternoon is your schedule for the next 4 days here with the Texas Rangers. Now, Big 12's presidents are meeting today, or did meet today. I'm not sure if it has concluded or if it's still in progress. They're discussing potential punishments for Texas Tech and for Sorsby. Sources have indicated to ESPN they are not expected to make any definitive decisions, but this morning they did file a federal lawsuit in the Northern District of Texas seeking a declaratory judgment and injunctive relief to allow the league the authority to use its bylaws to potentially punish Sorsby. Now, the Texas AG gets involved because last week he said if you go after Texas Tech, that'll be against the law or whatever. So this move is a legal counter to that letter from Ken Paxton, which warned that any sanctions imposed by the Big 12 would be unlawful and countered by legal action. So Paxton is listed as a defendant along with the chancellor, the president, and the athletic director of Texas Tech. This has completely gone way over my capacity to understand the hows and the whys of all the legalities. So this is going to be fun sports courtroom watching, if you will.
Yeah, Big 12 is basically just saying, like, we feel like we've been undercut in the ability to sort of enforce our own rules, and we need to make sure that we get back to being able to say, like, hey, whatever we decide we want to do to Texas Tech, we should be allowed to do.
Yeah.
Seems like that's kind of the approach they're taking here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's kind of mind-bending that we've gotten to a place where a college governing body cannot enforce its own rules. And, you know, maybe we got a lot more legal hoops to jump through before we get to an understanding. Deion Sanders weighing in, saying somebody's gambling on a sport they're playing. You don't think something's wrong with that? He was with the AP over the weekend. Just say that to yourself. This guy on my team is gambling on the sport in the competition that we're about to go out and have, and something's wrong with that. And, you know, I don't think he exactly had all the facts and the timing down, but of when the wagers took place and what we're doing. But, you know, the precedent has been set where I guess that's possible. And as long as you said I have a gambling addiction, you know, the NCAA would not be able to have any ability. And I think the difference here is the NCAA governing players is one thing. And because they are a monopoly, you know, they would have to do a collective bargaining agreement with the players to create some sort of a rule guideline outside of the laws that they can enforce. This is the conference and the universities. And that just seems so different that, you know. But Ken Paxton said last week you're going to face legal action if you try to sanction Texas Tech for this?
Yeah, well, and I guess the Oklahoma side of this, I think there was a lot of inaccurate stuff in, you know, their suit or letter back to Ken Paxton. Like, they're basically pointing the finger at Tech, like, you went ahead and got a judge that was biased and also insinuated that they, like, paid for the lawsuit on source, we said, which is not true. So I think the big thing is right now this is scheduled for to see if he can, you know, re-see this case is 2 weeks after the national championship game. So a big part of this is trying to just get it moved up. But I mean, Tech's going to probably fire at right back with a lawsuit. Like, I don't know. This probably doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and the 817 makes a good point. Like, if it says punish Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati knew about this all year last year. Yeah, did they sit the kid?
Whatever eventually Texas Tech receives by way of punishment should be copy and paste over to Cincinnati as well.
For sure.
Because they knew this
they knew
the
about
entire
it.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't say anything about
and
it.
And it wouldn't have seen the light of day, I guess.
Well, I mean, what are you punishing Texas Tech for?
If he had stayed at Cincinnati.
Yeah, right. I mean, this was... clearly they wanted their $1 million back. Sorsby's like, no. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, here's the NCAA being led to find he was gambling on stuff.
He'd go back and change that,
right? Was Cincinnati.
He'd go back and give them their $1 million back,
yes,
to keep,
yes,
this just from ever, yeah, seeing,
oh,
the light of,
yeah,
day.
Yeah,
no, until the week before they
I
were going
to
play Cincinnati.
I think there's folks out in Lubbock to believe that this was leaked by Cincinnati people.
Yeah, I think that's,
yeah,
pretty much,
yeah,
all
I think
but confirmed.
That's where and also I have a feeling that maybe that if they knew about this, all this, the gambling stuff, that maybe Tech wouldn't have done this.
Oh, 100%
maybe,
yeah, they would have.
Maybe they wouldn't have put themselves in,
no,
this situation.
There's no chance that they would
have. Just talking to several people out there in the athletic department.
So the belief is that Cincinnati is mad that you took their player,
yeah,
and that the kid wasn't loyal to you.
Right,
so
and they leaked it. Yeah, they leaked it on the kid. Yeah.
The Big 12's filing alludes to barring the school from the conference championship game as a potential sanction. The filing reads, TTU's decision to associate with, if not endorse, a student-athlete in this manner will affect opposing schools, student-athletes, fans, broadcast partners, conference standings, championship eligibility, and the public reputation of the Big 12 as a whole. So they're going to say, you know, playing this kid does us as a conference irreparable damage. I don't know how you rule on that, but I think it could cause them lack of reputation for not being able to have any sort of authority with players. But I think that would pretty much fall on the NCAA's front porch before it would the Big 12. The suit seeks to bar Tech from seeking to deter, coerce, prevent, or punish the Big 12 for exercising its rights under its bylaws to sanction Texas Tech related to its handling of the sports betting activity discussed in the complaint, including if Texas Tech fields a student athlete in Big 12 competitions who was engaged in sports betting activity on college sports. The Big 12 and its member institutions, apparently save Texas Tech, have no interest in being required to endorse or even appearing to endorse unethical and indeed unlawful conduct that strikes at the heart of the athletic integrity, the filing reads.
Man, it would be pretty amazing if Texas Tech goes on a storybook kind of run. And they run the table, and then Big 12's like, yeah, you can't play in the championship game.
Good luck with that. That'd be crazy.
That is going to ignite.
Well, it hurt their conference. You know, you'd want to have the representation in the playoff.
Right.
Right? I don't know if they would do that big picture, but yeah. Or, I mean, I'd kind of love it if maybe they just say, you know, it's Orange, we're not playing you. Here's Will Hammond, and he goes on an amazing run for them, and they go undefeated. But this is nuts. I think ultimately we're going to see Sorsby playing.
Okay, so they say unlawful conduct. If you have proof of that, I think that would be the easiest way out. You know, like, can you find that there was fraud that took place similar to Terry Rozier or other players using inside information, and you like broke the laws of American sports gambling? That would be, I think, your best chance of creating finality here. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to play out in court and be a matter of a judge's opinion. Or if the kid himself decides, man, this is getting too hot, I'm just going to check myself out of here, he could still jump in the supplemental draft. The deadline is next Monday.
Monday. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if how much consideration he's really giving that.
Probably should consider it. I mean, if you really wanted. Listen, if you don't want to have to go through everything that he's going to go through, just think about if he has a bad game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of that.
But you're also punting on the money, right? Aren't you punting on the $5-6 million from Texas Tech?
You know what? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to have to endure all the things that he might have to endure emotionally? And all? Listen, $5 million is $5 million. I get it. But maybe just go ahead and start your NFL career now. Kind of go get in camp, maybe get a place you don't have to play, spend a year learning, then, you know, be ready to go with your NFL career. But the poor kid, if something happens to him in a game, whether it's his fault or not, there's always going to be people questioning, like, whether he's throwing a game.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to get loud.
It's going to get loud. And he's better off just going and taking a year off from all this and going and sitting on an NFL sideline and kind of learning and being a little bit better that way.
Okay, Christian Pulisic, the U.S. men's team attacker, wing, midfielder, beast, trained off to the side at Monday's practice as he attempts.
Is it Brown?
to recover from a calf injury he sustained in training last week. It's the most Pulisic thing ever.
Yeah, right?
He just can't stay healthy, man.
Was he on the umbilical cords? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he was engaged in individual work. When asked how Pulisic was doing, Mauricio Pochettino, the greatest manager in U.S. soccer history,
let's go, Mauricio,
said good, without elaborating. Right. How would you describe that
the shirt he was wearing?
That vacation leisure gear he had on.
Yeah.
It's
I thought he was going to the tiki bar.
Right? It seemed like he was an American on vacation.
Yeah, I was expecting the loafers with the Velcro over the top of them.
Everybody else is in a flipping suit.
Yeah.
And here comes our guy Pochettino.
He had three of the buttons. So he had the middle button, but the lower buttons weren't buttons. But he had on a shirt underneath that,
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I was trying to figure out how was this approved? How did FIFA approve this? How was the U.S. Soccer Federation thumbs up, buddy? All I know is back up the Brinks truck. Don't let that man go anywhere.
Well, did you see though that there were a couple of capital companies that enabled him to get his money? If you go through and look at what these World Cup managers are making, there's a couple of these dudes are making a couple of $100,000.
Brutal.
He's making $6.9 million.
I'd double it.
Good.
Yeah. Well, there was two gentlemen that stepped forward.
Nice.
That helped with the money to get him.
Always need a good booster.
Yeah.
We got the finest coming up next, Chief.
Yeah. Two Cowboys poised for a breakout season. Plus Jake Ferguson, an all-time wingman. That's next in the Nation.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.